This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. You just heard in Aaron's newscast that Jay Inslee, he made a point yesterday of saying that even if they loosen up the state on June 30th, the state of emergency will continue.
This does not mean that our state of emergency will end on June 30th. This remains an extraordinary emergency that is created by the pandemic. The virus is not this. But we have a new chapter in a vaccine that we should fully implement.
This is not what a state of emergency was designed for. It was designed for an earthquake, a terror attack, something like that. And it was not ever designed to last more than a year. But here's what's going on. And I said this right before Inslee's press conference. I said, I bet he's not going to relinquish much control over us because power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think Jay Inslee has started to really enjoy the power that he has. I think he loves it when he watches everybody walking with a mask. He should have lifted all restrictions yesterday when the CDC said it's appropriate. He should have ordered all businesses to get rid of the mask restriction. QFC, Fred Meyer, Albertsons, Safeway. Like I said, I went to Albertsons yesterday and one of the workers there, oh, sir, do you have a mask? Yeah, it's in my pocket. I just forgot. Settle down. I'm vaccinated. Jeez. It's outrageous that if the state of industry or the state of emergency is persisting for Jay Inslee. But it's a way to control. It's a way to exert power. I want to just mention, you've heard some promos, but a guy who's just been a fantastic co-worker and a great friend to our show, Frank Shires. Tonight's his last night on the air. He's retiring. And what a career. I mean, he's done everything. Newscast, talk show host, late night editor, and just everything. He's the versatile utility man. And then I'm personally very disappointed because I think so highly of Frank personally. And also, there's nobody that I've worked with who has a better sense of our show and what our show is all about. And he sends us tips all the time, and they always turn out to be right on. And so he's very much going to be missed. So tune in tonight and during Jack Stein's show. I'm going to try to call in there and tell Frank all of this personally. But tonight's the last night for Frank Shires after an incredible career here at Cairo Radio. So just want to salute Frank Shires. Okay, coming up at the bottom of the hour, I've been looking into these missing Jenny Durkin text messages. Jenny Durkin could go to prison for this, for losing months and months and months of what is supposed to be publicly available. It is a felony, what she has done. Now, will that happen? Of course not. She's part of the Democrat machine. You think Pete Holmes or Dan Satterberg or Bob Fergie, you think any of them would actually file charges? But this is the condition of our region right now. People can commit felonies if they're in government with impunity. I'm going to talk to the person who knows more about our public records laws than anybody, Toby Nixon, coming up at 1:30 this afternoon. But Jenny Durkin, she told Channel 4, ComoNews.com, and in case you don't know the story, I think most of you do by now, but there's a federal lawsuit filed by the mother of one of the murdered teenagers at Chaz Chop. And as part of the disclosure, they wanted Jenny Durkin's text messages from last June. And turns out they've all disappeared. A technical glitch. Her phone was set to auto-delete texts after 30 days, which is illegal. It's a felony if you're a public official. But not only that, but Carmen Best, Fire Chief Scoggins, all of their text messages from last June are gone. And there are other government officials. Their texts from last June are gone. When Chaz Chop was at its peak, when people were being killed, when the East Precinct was abandoned. And we want to know what Jenny Durkin was saying to the other power people. But now Jenny Durkin tells ComoNews.com that she thought the texts were saved.
I'd assumed that we were collecting everything and it was being kept and archived.
Didn't you take a course, though, before all public leaders to understand
yes.
how technology works, and you still have that assumption?
Yes.
Yeah, she took a course, but she just assumed. When she was a U.S. attorney, you think that would have worked if somebody had been on the stand and they said, just assumed. But you took a course. You knew what the law was.
Yeah.
But still. And she says her staff is working feverishly to try to recover the text.
But maybe a bigger error is what our office did next in trying to recreate those messages to send as part of a public records request. Durkin said she's reviewing if there was any wrongdoing from her staffers as part of this investigation by the city's Ethics and Elections Commission.
Yeah, they said, Jenny Durkin's texts aren't available. They aren't subject to public records requests. There's some huge, stinking scandal that's brewing with all of this. When you have all of these public officials, the police chief, the fire chief, the mayor, and all of their text messages for 1 month, for Jenny Durkin, it was about 9 months' worth. But all their text messages for last June have disappeared. Is there anybody who thinks that there isn't some scandal underneath all of this? And Jenny Durkin says, I knew that we should have had them.
You should always presume you make things available. And if it's a close call, you make it available.
But she says, if we recover the text, and I thought they'd be on whatever her cellular provider, I thought they'd be on some server, but they're not. They're not recoverable through her cell phone company, I found out. And she says, but if we ever recover them, you'll see there was nothing there.
I think when we do, people will see tens of thousands of emails and text messages and calendars. And they'll realize there really wasn't. It's important to have. And they'll see what was happening at the time.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see Carmen Best, and I'd love to see Harold Scoggins. And what about the East Precinct? So if your text messages are missing, who ordered the police to abandon the East Precinct? Carmen Best made it clear it wasn't her.
The text from at least eight other public officials, including former police chief Carmen Best, are also missing during months of protests outside the East Precinct.
The decision to leave the East Precinct, who gave that authority? Do you think that's going to be in those text messages?
I can promise you that any text message we have, whether it's related to East Precinct or anything else, if we've got it, it'll be produced.
Wow. What a non-answer. Who gave the orders to abandon the East Precinct? Pretty straightforward question by the Channel 4 reporter. Who gave the orders? She said, well, if we recover the text, you'll see that there was nothing. There is a stinky scandal that is brewing under all of this. So, will Jenny Durkin go to prison because she has likely committed a felony? I'll talk to Toby Nixon about that at 1:30 this afternoon. Next up in the Fastest 15, people said, Dory, you've been complaining. I was looking at the text message. You've been complaining about the state not opening. And now Jay Inslee says we're going to open on June 30th. You're never happy. Well, I'm not happy because 2 weeks ago, they were going to roll back everybody. Now we're going to reopen everything. They don't have any. The data daddy doesn't have any additional data that is making them open the states. They're destroying businesses. barbershops, bars, restaurants with big six-figure fines because they dared violate the governor's edict that's of questionable constitutionality. Down in Tacoma, there's a tavern down there, and they've been suspended. Now, their liquor license. It's called an American Tavern. And the state says they've repeatedly broken pandemic safety rules. What pandemic safety rules? You guys didn't know what you were doing. 2 weeks ago, we're rolling back everything. Now we're rolling forward. You have no clue what we're doing. You very capriciously and arbitrarily said, well, Bob the barber in Snohomish is going to be a super spreader. Not one case traced to his barbershop. As far as I know, there has not been one COVID case traced to a restaurant or bar that opened in defiance of the governor. But he still wants to punish them. He still is just, and like I said, in the big lead, he seems to be getting some jollies out of this. Jay Inslee will ignore laws that he doesn't like. He doesn't like our federal immigration laws. He ignores them. He doesn't like our federal drug laws. He ignores them. He ignores laws he doesn't like, but he wants to destroy, ruin the lives of citizens who didn't follow his gubernatorial edict.
So I know the governor of Florida has canceled all fines and penalties against businesses. I'm wondering if you might do the same.
No, we're not doing that. The law still needs to be followed, and we still have things that are important to people's health. So, no, we will continue to enforce the law in the state of Washington as appropriate.
Except our immigration laws. I personally don't like immigration laws, so we're a sanctuary state. Right? Right, Jay? That how it works? You choose which laws to ignore, but if the citizens do, you will destroy them. I'm serious. This is such an abuse of power. It is such a double standard that he can ignore any law that he doesn't like, but he will destroy the lives. That restaurant in Port Orchard, 132,000 in fines. 160,000 for spiffies in Chehalis. 100,000 here, 100,000 there. He wants to destroy the lives of people who didn't follow his dictatorial orders of us. We have to stop this. This isn't right. And I will continue to stand up for all these working people and people who provide jobs and taxes, because our government is looking at them as the enemy, and he wants to destroy them. And I think we should all rise up against that and in favor of these businesses where they didn't do one bit of public health damage with being open. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. Oh, man. Some people are outraged because the Jacksonville Jaguars have signed Tim Tebow to be a tight end. Jacksonville had the number one pick in the draft, so they took the top college quarterback. So they don't need a quarterback. But they signed Tim Tebow, and that's making some people just their heads explode. He's been out of the league for 8 years. He's never played tight end. And Colin Kaepernick still doesn't have a job. This proves that the NFL is racist. Well, no, it doesn't. And I know a couple of things for certain. I know that the Seahawks brought Kaepernick in for a tryout. And I know that the Seahawks were prepared to sign him. But they asked him. They said, we can't have a backup quarterback who is going to try to dominate the news cycle. Will you cool it on that if we sign you? And Kaepernick said no. He doesn't want to play. That's the difference here. That's why Tebow's back and Kaepernick's not. It's not because of their skin color. Tebow wants to play. Kaepernick does not. When the NFL, as a league, gave him a workout in front of all the teams, and then he really messed with them and made it so difficult for other teams to see him work out. He doesn't want to play. He wants just remain this martyr. Man, you don't even agrees with me on that. Gene Simmons of KISS. Get some quotes here. He went on social media and he said, "It's a shame that Tebow's critics stoop so low and mock the man for his Christian convictions." And I talked about that yesterday. The Seattle police rescinded invitations to a Christian-sponsored thank-you dinner for cops and their spouses. But yesterday, the Seattle police posted on Facebook, a Muslim holiday. They said they tried to cancel the Christian event because it would be offensive to the LGBTQ community. And I said, are they not aware of how the Muslim religion feels about gay people? But it's not about any of that. There's no consistency. It's about going after Christianity, because that is seen as the biggest impediment to, you know, the full Marxist takeover. Got to destroy the cities, got to destroy families, got to destroy faith. All the rocks upon which we've been built, that's their doing. That's why people hate Tim Tebow so much, because he is a devout Christian. He's a great man, and he does great things, and things he does for kids who are on the spectrum. And I mean, it's just, he is tireless in his philanthropy, and people hate him because he's a faithful, outspoken, devout Christian. But the Kaepernick versus Tebow thing has nothing to do with their skin color. Kaepernick does not want to play. Tebow does. End of story. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, coming up next, I'm going to talk to the guy who's the president emeritus of the Washington Open Records Coalition. Could Jenny Durkin go to prison for these missing text messages? We'll find out next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been telling you, it is rather shocking. A couple of weeks ago on our show, an attorney announced a federal lawsuit against the city of Seattle for giving up parts of Capitol Hill, giving up the East Precinct for Chaz Chop. We had two teenagers who were murdered during that time. The mother of one of those victims is now suing the city of Seattle. But shockingly, not only have months of Jenny Durkin's text messages, including June of last year, vaporized, they've disappeared. But same is true for June of last year for former police chief Carmen Best, Fire Chief Harold Scoggins. Toby Nixon is with the Washington Coalition for Open Government. He's their president emeritus. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, Toby, it's good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hi, Dory. It's a pleasure.
So tell me, because these open record laws are so important for those of us, whether it's in the media or private citizens who want to be watchdogs of government, they are so important. And so tell me about this violation and how significant you find it to be.
Well, there are two separate parts of the law. The first is the retention, that the records have to be kept for certain periods of time. And the second is the disclosure. The disclosure law is the Public Records Act. And the key issue here is that the records were not kept as long as the law requires them to be kept. And it's simply irresponsible to set any kind of records device, any device that can contain records, to automatically delete them after any period of time. There needs to be control over that. And there was a serious mistake made here.
Well, and that was Jenny Durkin's excuse, is Jenny Durkin's excuse. She said that her cell phone was set to delete text messages automatically after 30 days. Should she have known better? Should she have known exactly what the law said?
Absolutely. All public officials in Washington State are required to receive training in records retention and disclosure. And there's really no excuse to not be aware of the fact that based on the content of records, they have to be kept for some period of time. And there certainly is one category of records called transitory records that only have to be kept as long as they're useful. But the vast majority of records, including all communications by elected officials, have to be kept at least 2 years, and in many cases, forever. After that 2 years, they have to be assessed by the state archives for their historical value. And that just didn't happen here.
Well, Jenny Durkin says she doesn't know who set her phone to auto-delete after 30 days. Is that a reasonable excuse if she just says, well, somebody else set my phone? I had no idea it was happening.
Well, I would say that it's every individual's responsibility who is a creator or custodian of records to ensure that the right thing is happening, and especially when it's the mayor, who is the chief executive of the city, who oversees everybody in the city to make sure that the records are being retained for as long as the law requires.
And apparently there are lots of other public officials, as I mentioned, Carmen Best, Chief Scoggins, all their text messages from June of 2020, when we were at the peak of Chaz Chop, they have all disappeared, which leads a lot of us, Toby, to think that there's some conspiracy going on. You've been dealing with this for a long time. You have been at the vanguard of making sure we have open records for a politician. So what's your reaction, I mean, just from either personal or professional level, when we hear about all these top officials who were the primary decision makers in giving up the East Precinct, giving up Chaz Chop? What's your reaction when you hear that all of their text messages are gone from June of 2020?
It is absolutely very suspicious, Dory. It's one thing for one senior official to say my phone was accidentally set wrong, but for all of the ones who were involved in these critical decision making processes to somehow say all my messages were accidentally lost, that stinks to high heaven.
Jenny Durkin says she has some digital forensic people trying to recover the messages. She is telling us now that she's happy and eager for those messages to be recovered. Shouldn't they be able to, whoever wants to access them, whether it's the attorneys who are filing lawsuit against the city, can't they just go to the phone company? Aren't they stored on some server with all these cellular providers?
That is correct. I'm on Verizon, for example, and I can go to vtext.com and see all my text messages. However, once they're deleted on the phone, they're also deleted on the server. So it's like the server is a backup for messages that have not yet been deleted. So, for example, if you lose your phone, you can restore the messages that had not been deleted. But I'm not sure if there's any permanent archive kept on those servers. A lot of agencies use third-party software that daily goes up to those wireless carrier servers and downloads all the messages and stores them separately. And the state archives advises agencies to do that.
Well, so now Jenny Durkin's telling us that she hopes they're recovered because we're not going to find any smoking gun. What if we do? I mean, if they do somehow recover them, or if they never recover them, what is the punishment for public officials violating the law like this?
So it depends on which portion of the law. For the records retention law, to knowingly, willfully, intentionally delete records is a felony. Depending on the nature of the records, it can be a Class B or Class C felony. You can also be found guilty of failing to perform a duty imposed upon a public official. That's a misdemeanor. You can be subject to recall on the basis of disobeying those laws. In terms of the Public Records Act, the disclosure part of it, there aren't individual penalties for those. The agency can have to pay a penalty of up to $100 per record per day. And unfortunately, that means the taxpayers are paying that penalty, the individual officials. But for destroying records before the law allows them to be destroyed, there are individual criminal penalties for that.
Well, if my memory serves correct, Toby, I think a Class B felony has penalties up to 10 years in prison, a Class C up to 5 years in prison. Is there any chance that the Seattle mayor, the former police chief, the fire chief, if it is determined that they willfully deleted these messages to keep things from the public, is there any chance they'd go to prison for this?
It's small. And the reason is you have to convince a prosecutor to actually file those charges and pursue them. And would Pete Holmes or Dan Satterberg really do that? I have my doubts. Yeah. Where we've seen this law used in Washington in the past, and this is why I think there is some chance of it, is if it can be shown that the official was having records destroyed, you know, directing their staff to destroy the records or destroying them themselves in order to cover up personal wrongdoing, that is when prosecutors around the state have used this law in the past.
Yeah,
and
but
could Holmes or Satterberg be convinced to do that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, come on. We're a one-party state. They all give protection rackets to each other all the way to Bob Ferguson at the AG's office. There's no way that they would ever try to put Jenny Durkin in prison. It's just, and that's what's so frustrating to me, Toby, that, you know, all of us are expected to obey the law. All of us face punishment. But, man, there is so much cronyism and protection rackets that are going on with things like this. I agree with your initial reaction. There's no way that Dan Satterberg or Pete Holmes would do that.
The only way it could happen, or with Bob Ferguson as well, is if the public rose up, kind of the way the public rose up and demanded that Governor Inslee veto the legislature's exempting itself from the public records law, right?
Yeah.
If there was enough political pressure from the general public put on these prosecutors to take the right action, to do the right thing, and if they were thinking ahead to their political futures, then maybe they could be persuaded.
So what you're saying is it's up to me to rile up the public on this.
You're very good at that, Dory.
Toby, it's really great talking with you. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right. Toby Nixon is the president emeritus of the Washington Coalition for Open Government. Great, great cause that they have to make sure that our public officials are held accountable and that their records are open to us. All right. Your thoughts. Text me at 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Yesterday, we told you about the equity training that people in the Edmond School District, the administration, teachers had to go through, and they've just made up nonsensical words as new pronouns that they should use for people. The words include who, H-U, fae, F-A-E, E, just the letter E, or I, E-Y. And they say you should use, instead of herself, H-E-R-S-E-L-F, which is gender specific, you should use herself, H-I-R, and that's okay. Her, H-I-R. Also, zerself. You can say M-self, or E-self, or I-self. Hum-self, H-U-M, is also an appropriate pronoun in the Edmond School District. Or fae-self, F-A-E. So, those are the pronouns that they're encouraging people in the Edmond School District. I would like people, my pronoun is going to be... I don't know how to spell it. But I have a follow-up on this because the same sort of nonsense is happening at Penn State University. Administrators are striking down the patriarchy by banning more words, vile, disgusting words. For example, the newly arriving students, they will no longer be referred to as freshmen. It has men in it. Also, they're going to get rid of, for third year and fourth year students, the terms junior and senior. The reason? Because those words are non-inclusive and paternalistic. Our friend Jazz Shaw wrote about this in Hot Air. So here's what it says. Pennsylvania State University's Faculty Senate passed a resolution on inclusive language that will rid the university of paternalistic labels such as freshman, junior, senior, upperclassman, and underclassman. The Senate committee passed the removal of gendered and binary terms from course and program descriptions, according to Campus Reform. Now, upperclassmen and lowerclassmen are going to be changed. They're now going to be known as upper division and lower division. How does that work? That's classism, that some are above others, for crying out loud. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior is going to be replaced with first year, second year, third year, fourth year, because you can't say a word that has men in it. And you're probably wondering, why are they getting rid of junior and senior? They say that that is often used with families where a father has a son that has the same name. And so the father becomes Dory Monson Sr. Like, I would name my son Dory. I'm not that cruel. But if I had, I would have been Dory Monson Sr. And my beautiful son would have been Dory Monson Jr. And that makes the word senior and junior in a college setting paternalistic. So Penn State has gotten rid of them to protect the sensitive. Here's another thing. University of Virginia is doing this too. 89% of students at the University of Virginia, recent student council elections, they approved removing gendered pronouns from their constitution. The first referendum question on the students' ballot was entitled Modernization and Inclusion of Student Council Constitution. So no more he or she, him or her, his or hers. They will use the they pronoun, which isn't even proper English to say they for a singular person. But this is just all part of, you know, I don't think anybody's offended by the word upperclassman or freshman. Nobody is sincerely offended. And if they are, the world shouldn't be catering to somebody who is that sensitive. If we mold everything in the world to accommodate the most sensitive among us, then life won't be worth living. I couldn't be more proud of our colleges, universities, and the Edmonds School District, where they've introduced nonsense made-up words for their equity training. Okay, quick timeout. Check the news. Big lead at 2. Going to talk to a Homeland Security guy about the flood of fentanyl and the cartels trying to get a foothold here in Seattle. What's coming up?